Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. Conventional couple, spiritual couple. We have all wished for, at one time or another, a perfect, sublime relationship with a human being of the opposite sex. Some of us succeeded the very first time, but many others succeeded after many failures, and others are still looking. But don't worry, because everyone has his other half, as an ancient proverb tells us. Sooner or later, you and your lover will come to enjoy the most sublime aspects of love, depending on how fast you will be aware of the hidden reality. Want to know what that is? Stay with us. Meditation Guide Number 3. Types of Meditation. There are different kinds of meditation. Particular kinds are best suited for particular minds. The kind of meditation varies according to taste, temperament, capacity, and the mind of the individual. A devotee usually meditates on his tutelary deity or his Ishta Devata. A Raja Yogi meditates on the special Purusha or spirit, or Ishvara, an aspect of God, who is not touched by afflictions, desires, or karma. A Hatha Yogi meditates on the chakras and their presiding deities. A Jnani meditates on his own self or Atman. You will have to find out yourself which kind of meditation is suitable for you. If you are not able to do this, you will have to consult a teacher or guru who has attained self-realization. He will be able to know the nature of your mind and the correct method of meditation for you. We shall now continue our coverage of Bhuvaneshwari with Part 3. She reveals the threads of illusion. Modern science has recently reached a conclusion according to which space, named in yogic terminology Akasha, represents the primordial matrix from which we were born and all the other elements, air, fire, water, and earth, came from. For example, the substance from which the earth is made of is essentially a concentration characteristic to space in a certain area. Under this aspect of primordial substance from which emerges everything in the manifested world, the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari is also known as Prakriti, or Mother Nature. However, we need to remember that this primordial space, which is a base for any ulterior manifestation, is essentially pure consciousness, and consequently it is an ineffable expression of endless freedom and bliss. Still more on Bhuvaneshwari with Part 4 in our series of articles. Bhuvaneshwari represents the power of openness and infinite expansion, of equanimity in spirit and profound peace that contains in it all things and that cannot be disturbed. Indeed, we will be able to understand this assertion better when we evoke the tantric teachings referring to the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari. These teachings state that the goddess is the original space from which emerges any being and anything. The great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari represents the void in its creative form, from which creation then emerges and which sustains creation's further development. It is important to understand that this void is not the void anterior to creation, which is transcendent and which is represented by the great cosmic power Dumavati. From a location point of view, Bhuvaneshwari is everywhere in space. Please remain with us when we shall perform another meditation of communion with this great cosmic power towards the end of our broadcast.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. Conventional couple versus a spiritual couple. We've all wished for a perfect, sublime relationship with a human being of the opposite sex. Some of us succeeded the first time around, others succeeded after many failed tries, and others are still looking. But don't worry, because everybody has his half, as an ancient proverb tells us. Sooner or later, you and your lover will come to enjoy the most sublime aspects of love, depending on how fast you will be aware of reality. It is essential to understand the typical mistakes usually made in a so-called normal or conventional couple. from the beginning, this kind of relationship is doomed to be a failure. Being aware of our mistakes, we can build a perfect relationship according to our ideals. What follows is a comparative analysis of the two types of couples, the conventional one and the spiritual one. The conventional couple, closed process. The couple's motivations are not clear. For the most part, the couple is modeling, having a standard pattern established by others and not modeling after self-inner standards. They prefer security, stability, and transformation is avoided. That is why individual evolution is very slow. Everybody tries hard to be according to the other one's image of him or her. They're not acting in a free way. They do not do what they feel. In a spiritual couple, it is an open process. The spiritual purpose is clearly set up from the beginning, the common objectives that constitute the foundation of the relationship. There is a mutual recognition of the other's freedom. Both lovers honestly and openly express who they are and what they want to accomplish, what their targets are. Transformation is accepted, and there is no jealousy. This is the reason why individual evolution is very fast. In a conventional couple, there is doubt. The closed process provokes less self-confidence and less confidence in the other. You become attached, dependent. You need the other to tell you that you are valuable, while in a spiritual couple there is trust. The open process makes each of the lovers aware of their independence. You're not trying to change the other one. You accept him or her as they are, and you help them by your own presence. In a conventional couple, there is competition. Fight for power appears. Who gives orders? Fights for authority, conflicts. The own interest comes first. The ego has the power. In a spiritual couple, there is understanding, and each lover has the same rank and the same responsibilities. Each one of them respects the other one's space and his or her desire to be together or alone. You are here to help the other one advance. In a conventional couple, there is dependence. You have different points of view that you want to impose. You feel alone and unfulfilled, and you're afraid of being abandoned. In a spiritual couple, there is autonomy, where each one of you is self-sufficient and not dependent on the other one. Love confers safety, and each lover is open to the other one's desire of spiritual evolution. And so there is a good understanding of the tools used by everyone for spiritual development, spiritual practice, spare time, traveling, and so on. This drives to spontaneity and harmony. A conventional couple places conditions. Dependence provokes conditional exchanges. Their relations are led by rules, contracts, and obligations. The base of the relationship is the idea of exchange. You offer if you get something in return. The attitudes are premeditated and there is manipulation. In a spiritual couple, there is liberty and freedom. An autonomy provokes tolerance, detachment, and abandonment. There is no longer the case of domination or possessiveness. They spontaneously explore together the joyful adventure of evolution inside the two of them. Happiness, mutual confidence, and harmony are there. In a conventional couple, boredom sets in. The lovers create rules because they don't enjoy spending time together anymore. They enter into a routine that destroys the creativity and inventiveness. Each of them begins to think that the other one is his or her cause of unhappiness, and this is the reason why she must defend, or he must defend, themselves from the other one. While in a spiritual couple, there is creativity. Constantly, the lovers play games, loving games. This generates good moods, spontaneity, inspiration, amusement. There is a spontaneous change of parts and duties. New ways of love are invented and you feel good and happy together. In a conventional couple, there is insecurity. You have the feeling that something is missing. You don't know exactly what it is and you have feelings of fear, instability and culpability. You avoid the other one or you reproach him or her for a certain behavior that upset you. You want to make a family hoping that you'll find a solution for the problems and find more stability. In a spiritual couple, there is security. A profound love makes stability appear. There can also appear the wish to have a family, but not because the lovers are afraid of losing one another, but in order to fulfill their spiritual purpose. The spiritual merging of the two lovers induces a superior feeling of security. In a conventional couple, there is a sensation of couple failure, the inability to change the flow of events. Each lover begins to undervalue one another. Resentments can appear that can provoke and unbalance the relationship. There is desperation. You have the feeling that there's nothing you can do, and you see no way of bringing that harmony into the couple. But in a spiritual relationship, there is perfect love, a feeling of abnegation and devotion. Mutual devotion awakens the divine essence in both lovers, and the mutual abnegation generates a good mood. You exist to love. The love becomes cosmic, so that you feel that God is the one who loves you through your lover. In a conventional couple, there is separation. The only solution is the separation, the divorce. You experience the desperation and the loneliness. That could yet be the opportunity for a transformation, for a possible discovery of the autonomy and freedom that you're looking for. In a spiritual couple, there is unity. The relationship is an opportunity to achieve the spiritual wedding, or in other words, the spiritual union of the two lovers. The lovers discover primary love, the love between two archetypes, the male archetype and the female one. The love leads the lovers to unity, divine grace and blessing. They fulfill the ideal of any couple, which is discovering the unity, or in other words, supreme reality.
This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. Meditation Guide. Types of Meditation. There are different kinds of meditation. Particular kinds are best suited for particular minds. The kind of meditation varies according to taste, temperament, capacity, and the mind of the individual. A devotee meditates on his tutelary deity or Ishta Devata. A Raja Yogi meditates on the special Purusha, or spirit, or Ishvara, an aspect of God who is not touched by the afflictions, desires, and karmas of the world. A Hatha Yogi meditates on the chakras and their presiding deities. A Jnani meditates on his own self, or Atman. You will have to find out yourself which kind of meditation is suitable for you. If you are not able to do this, you will have to consult a teacher or a guru who has attained self-realization. He will be able to know the nature of your mind and the correct method of meditation for you. The mind assumes the form of the object it cognizes. Only then is perception possible. A bhakta or devotee constantly meditates on the form of his tutelary deity, and his mind always takes the form of that deity. Then, when he is established in meditation, when he attains the stage of para, bhakti or supreme devotion, he sees his Ishta Devata everywhere. Names and forms vanish. A Jnani or Vedantin sees his own self or Atman everywhere. The world of names and forms vanishes from his view. He experiences the utterances of the seers of the Upanishads, Savram, Kalvidam, Brahma. All indeed is Brahman, or God. There exist two main kinds of meditation: Saguna or concrete meditation and Nirguna or abstract meditation. In concrete meditation, the yoga student concentrates on the form of the object. In abstract meditation, he concentrates all the energy of his mind on one idea of spirit or Atman and avoids comparisons with memories and all other ideas. One idea fills his whole mind. When you see concrete objects with your open eyes and meditate, it is a concrete form of meditation. When you reflect upon the image of your object with closed eyes, it is also a concrete form of meditation, but it is more abstract this way. When you meditate on the infinite abstract light, it is an even more abstract form of meditation. The former two types belong to the Saguna form of meditation, the later to the Nirguna form. Even in Nirguna meditation, there is a concrete form in the beginning which steadies the mind. Later on, this form vanishes and the meditator and meditated become one. Meditation proceeds from the mind. Saguna meditation is meditation on a form. This is a concrete form of meditation for people of devotional temperament. This is meditation with gunas or attributes. You can repeat the mantra Om. You can think of the attributes of the Supreme, such as omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. Your mind will be filled with purity this way. Again and again, you must repeat this process. Here is one kind of meditation for beginners. Sit in Padmasana in a solitary room. Close your eyes. Meditate on the effulgence of the sun, the splendor of the moon, the glory of the stars and the beauty of the sky. Or meditate on the magnanimity of the ocean, on its infinite nature. Compare the ocean with the infinite Brahman, the waves, foam, and blocks of ice to the various names and forms. Identify yourself with the ocean. Become silent and expand. This is another kind of meditation, especially for those of you of Indian background. Meditate on the Himalayas. Imagine that the river Ganga takes its origin from the icy region of Gangotri near Uttarkashi, flows through Rishikesh, Benares, and centers in the Ganga Sagar in the Bay of Bengal. Himalayas, Ganga, and the sea, only these three thoughts should occupy your mind. First, take your mind to icy Gangotri, then along the Ganga, and finally to the sea. Then, take it again to the icy Gangotri. Rotate your mind in this manner for at least 15 minutes. Imagine that there is a fine garden with lovely flowers. In one corner there are jasmine flowers. In another corner there are beautiful cabbage roses. In the third corner there is a lady of the night. In the fourth corner there are champak flowers. First, meditate on the jasmine. Then take your mind to the rose, then to the lady of the night, and finally to the champak. Again, rotate the mind as previously described. Do this for at least 15 minutes. Gross meditation like this will prepare the mind in order to meditate on more abstract forms and subtle ideas. Have a picture of the mantra Om in front of you, or use a yantra. Concentrate on it. Perform trataka on it, which means steadily gazing at it without blinking until your tears flow profusely. This is both saguna and nirguna meditation, with and without attributes. Here is an abstract meditation on nirguna Brahman. Repeat Om mentally with bhava or feeling. Associate the ideas of Sat-Chit-Ananda, purity, perfection, all joy I am, all bliss I am, in your mind. There is no world, there is no body or mind, there is only one Chaitanya or pure consciousness. I am that pure consciousness. This is Nirguna meditation, without attributes. deny, negate, or throw out the koshas, the five sheaths or bodies, and identify with the one essence that lies beneath them. Meditate and purify your mind. Practice concentration in a solitary room. Then reflect upon the Upanishads and the Gita in your mind. Do not depend upon imperfect commentaries. If you are sincere, you will understand the real Sankalpa, or thoughts of the Rishis or sages of the Upanishads, what they really meant when they uttered those very wise slokas or verses found in the scriptures. Unfold the divinity that is hiding in your heart by concentration and meditation. Do not waste your time. Meditate. Do not lose even a single minute. Meditation will remove all the misery from your life. Meditation is the enemy of the mind that is constantly chattering. It brings about manonasa, or the annihilation of that mind.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Amaris. She reveals the threads of illusion. Modern science has just recently reached the conclusion that space, named in yoga terminology Akasha, represents in fact the primordial matrix from which all the other elements were born, air, fire, water, and earth. For instance, the substance from which the earth is made is essentially a concentrate characteristic to the space in a certain area. In this aspect of primordial substance from which everything emerges in the manifested world, the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshvari is also known as Prakriti, or Mother Nature. However, we need to remember that this primordial space, the base of any ulterior manifestation, is essentially pure consciousness, and consequently it is ineffable as an expression of endless freedom and bliss. From a different perspective, Bhuvaneshvari is also Maya, or cosmic illusion. Bhuvaneshvari spreads thus the infinite threads of the illusion in which ignorant people are entangled, and thus they complicate their choices. When we measure, appreciate, or compare the different things and situations in life, we simply fall into Maya's illusory trap. We forget almost entirely the reality of the fundamental unitary space, the primordial matrix from which all things appeared. Any manifested form is in fact a system of energy waves that exist based on subtle relationships or resonances with the macrocosmic sources of energy from the infinite. Therefore, one of the important methods of transcending the illusion is to learn to see around us the sacred space of the Divine Mother Bhuvaneshvari. Space that is in fact her gigantic, ineffable consciousness, which surrounds us in a kind of loving embrace. Consciousness is also the fundamental field in which all things and events appear and manifest. Consequently, a synthetic and effective awareness of this fundamental reality will immediately grant us the capacity of accessing any of our modalities of expression through a simple act of focused will on our part. Bhuvaneshvari awakens the thrill of the infinite. Bhuvaneshvari is the space in which God's endless will and love manifest. Indeed, the pure and deep feeling of a sincere and unconditional love always offers the feeling of space and infinite freedom. Such sublime love does not limit a person's options, and does not try to obtain or keep anything for itself, but always manifests altruistically. On the other hand, the ineffable space of love represents a nurturing space that grants the people who are capable of it, as well as to their loved ones, the possibility to grow and develop. We may state that if love does not create the feeling of space and freedom, it does not represent a divine love, but it is merely the egoistic and selfish expression of a possessive and non-spiritual affection. It is a known fact that such affection leads the persons in cause to absurd states of suffering and attachment, especially when it is manifested through fierce jealousy. The frantic worship of the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari makes it possible even for such a person to transcend his or her pitiful limitations through the revelation of the fact that genuine universal love has no form. It does not contract and focus on one person or object. Yet this real love is all the forms. God's infinite love gives birth to the desire to create and then to follow the wonderful show which is creation. From this perspective, Bhuvaneshwari creates the world in which the endless power of divine love manifests. This divine game, Lila, is continuously effervescent because space, Akasha, represents an infinite potential energy that is used in the infinite ways and in the infinite forms of manifestation. Therefore, the yogi spiritual tradition states that the whole universe comes from the infinite space of divine consciousness. Especially for those struggling to become artists or creators, devotion to this great cosmic power, Bhuvaneshwari, will prove unbelievably helpful. This devotion will help them create a sacred space inside of their own beings. At the same time, by creating a sacred space, we become free of stress and tensions, which are merely limited forms of our conceptions, preconceived ideas, and attachments. In other words, endless space can be associated with rest, peace, and perfect equanimity. This ineffable state is granted through Bhuvaneshwari's grace, and consequently one needs to obtain Bhuvaneshwari's grace in order to find supreme peace and tranquility. Bhuvaneshwari represents the power of openness and infinite expansion, of equanimity in spirit and profound peace that contains in it all things and that cannot be disturbed. Indeed, we will be able to understand this assertion better when we evoke the tantric teachings referring to the great cosmic power, Bhuvaneshwari. These teachings say that the goddess is the primal space from which all beings and things emerge. The great cosmic power, Bhuvaneshwari, represents the void in its creative form, from which creation emerges and which sustains the further development of creation. It is important to underline the fact that this void is not the void before creation, which is transcendent and which is represented by the great cosmic power Dumavati. From the point of view of location, Bhuvaneshwari is everywhere in space. Practically, we can say that we are always in Bhuvaneshwari's sphere of consciousness. But beyond this reality, which implies a macrocosmic reality, the goddess represents the very subtle space of our hearts, where the whole manifestation is mysteriously contained. At the same time, this space represents the sacred place in which we may become one with consciousness, with the supreme immortal self through spontaneous beatific revelation. Bhuvaneshwari offers you the enlightenment and revelation of the self. As far as the iconographic representation of the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari is concerned, it resembles the representation of Tripura Sundari. She radiates a beneficial state. As we mentioned in our previous articles, the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari has the color of the rising sun and is represented with a crescent moon on her forehead, four hands and three eyes. In two of her hands she holds a chain and, respectively, a stake. And with the other two hands she makes the gestures of casting away fear, Abhaya Mudra, and the gesture of offering wonderful spiritual gifts, Varada Mudra. Sometimes she is represented with a lotus and a bowl of jewels in the cup of her hands, and in other instances her left foot is placed on the bowl of jewels. The great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari sits on a bed resembling a throne, and it also consists of the five forms of manifestation of the god Shiva, as we have described them in the article about the great cosmic power Tripura Sundari. From this throne, the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari controls and organizes the movement of the entire universe. Different gods and goddesses who serve her and immediately obey her orders surround the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari. Meditating with great perseverance on this beautiful goddess's form, the sincere practitioner may obtain her infinite grace, may become enlightened, and may reveal his or her supreme self. Another modality through which one may obtain her grace is to meditate on the reality of infinite space. Another method is to develop and refine within ourselves the attitude of the detached witnesses in manifestation. A witness who simply observes the various events, things, beings that may cross his or her path, but without ever identifying with these. Another modality is to try perseveringly to eliminate from our mind the idea that the surrounding names and forms represent reality. This method resembles the practices from Jnana Yoga and are based on the fact that just as everything we know stems from a positioning of names and forms, which are in fact just conventions, over an unknown presence, which is nothing else but the creative void supported by an infinite energy. Of all these ways of worshipping the Divine Mother Bhuvaneshwari, becoming perfectly detached from the illusory nature of the dual aspect of the cosmic illusion, and manifesting a sincere and complete openness towards finding the supreme truth, represent the most indicated ways of adoring her, and also of honoring the charming presence of the great cosmic power Bhuvaneshwari. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: communion with the great cosmic force of space, Bhuvaneshwari. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect. Communion with the great cosmic force of space, Bhuvaneshvari. Let us begin.
That concludes our broadcast. Have a nice day, everyone.